This is Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman, addiction and wellness specialist, motivational speaker, and author, helping individuals, couples, and families regain a sense of control, leading to personal growth, wellness, and a more fulfilling life. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. When seeking help for an addiction, so many people turn to a residential treatment program. There's a new model that's recently emerged, ambulatory detox, which provides the same protocols and procedures as inpatient centers, with one key difference, and that is that clients can return home at the end of a structured day. My guest today, Dr. Indra Sidambi, is the medical director of the Center for Network Therapy, New Jersey's first state-licensed ambulatory detox program. Dr. Sidambi has helped hundreds of clients start the recovery journey, and she joins me today to explain the ins and outs of this innovative treatment and how it may change the field of recovery in the future. Dr. Indra Sidambi, welcome to our show. Thank you so much for being here.
Erica, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Well, this is a fantastic opportunity for everyone that's listening to understand that now there is different ways to detox. And, you know, a lot of the people listening have had some kind of experience with addiction and are always asking, you know, how can I start this journey in terms of detox? And it's usually so daunting because you have to go to a hospital or they have these kind of ideas of something that is extremely archaic and uncomfortable. So could you tell me a little bit about how this started and more about your practice?
Yes, definitely. Center for Network Therapy is an ambulatory detox. What you already did mention that people get to go home at the end of the day. That is the difference between a traditional model, which is an inpatient detox, versus this outpatient model. A typical day at the center would look like this, Erica. A patient would come in to the facility for an eight-hour day to spend in the facility. At the end of those 8 hours, they'll go back home. So they would come in the morning at 9 a.m. and go home around 5 p.m. The goal for each day is truly to address the vital issues through group therapy and individual sessions that they get in the center. In addition, they also get medications and nursing assistance here. Along with the center also introduces them to the 12-step meetings like AA and NA meetings while they are here at the center. This also helps the patients get the appropriate support network and they motivate to continuing the 12-step meetings when they complete the treatment at the center. The one thing which is important for the ambulatory detox level of care is to be able to integrate the family into the treatment, meaning we involve the loved ones in treatment, help them successfully complete the program. So now it's not like, oh, my God, my loved one is going away, and then they come back home. I expect the loved one to be perfectly all right. You know, this becomes a process. So they both, the family and the person who's addicted to drugs, feel more comfortable doing this together because they feel the understanding.
So this is more of like an outpatient center or outpatient program because, you know, I mean, well, first of all, let me ask you one thing I have my own now treatment center and it's a outpatient center, but, you know, we can't have somebody that's detoxing because first of all, it's extremely dangerous. We need medical attention and we need them to be at a level of care that they could actually be present. So if somebody's listening out there and they really, you know, most people that I know that detoxed are out of it for 2 or 3 weeks, like literally bed rest. So is this more of an advanced program or can they be completely, medicated and obviously withdrawing from drugs, or alcohol how do you incorporate both worlds in terms of therapy with somebody who's not present or not ready to be present?
This is a beautiful, method of detox. The ambulatory detox really helped them learn coping skills and deal with the stresses in the real time. And hence they are able to maintain sobriety for a longer period of time. You know, so it's like, it's similar to learning to ride a bike. You get to learn it, but you don't get to practice it. And so when you have to do it on your own, you'll never be able to do it. But then with an ambulatory detox, they are able to go home. While they're detoxing, they kind of learn not to use it when they go back home. So they put the coping skill to practice at the end of the day. And so, you know, they also get appropriate directions through therapy. And also the medication is done in such a way that it is a customized detox taper. So when they go home, they are not like really in discomfort. They come back the next day and we titrate the medication to the needs of their withdrawal symptoms. So it's not like one size fits all.
Right. It has to be very individual.
All right. And that is why this model is really helpful for people who are working, who have to balance both the family life.
Yeah.
You know, so this is a beautiful model. And I think this is the futuristic model. Like, you know, the future has to move from the traditional one to the ambulatory detox, because the traditional model is not for everybody. It's a bubble. If it is, if you're going to put somebody in a bubble, the bubble got to burst sometime, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think that all these different ways of treatment are helpful for. It warms my heart to hear that there are different choices that people could make, because some people really can't get away from their everyday life, but yet really want to stop using a certain medication, or really want, you know, to change their life in that way. And it sounds like this would be a perfect fit. There's also some, you know, some people that live in very toxic households where I don't know how great that would be to be back, you know, or that other person is, or their husband or wife is drinking, or there's drugs in the house. So, you know, that also has to be taken into account, I'm sure. Are you?
No, you're perfectly right, Erica. You know, this is, I'm not trying to say that ambulatory detox is the only modality of treatment.
So, no, you know, I know.
When they meet the criteria, if they have a stable living environment, and if they have this detox that they need to fulfill, this method will be the you know, much better one, because this program works, because it is different from the similar programs, which are like the traditional inpatient, but in three ways. One, it is a customized medication treatment, and then we involve the loved ones in treatment. And the third differentiating point is that immediate admission to the treatment. There is no waiting period to start treatment for withdrawal
That's
symptoms.
Great.
You know, so if somebody is going through withdrawal symptoms, you know, what happens is they try to call the inpatient centers. They don't meet the criteria for that that day, and so they end up using again. They, you know, the most difficult thing to handle is the withdrawal symptoms. So they just want help right away. So this model gives them all the three features that I told you. So it's kind of user-friendly.
That sounds great. No, it's fantastic. And are you finding, because I mean, I think this is something which I'm sure you address, which is so important these days, is the prescription drug abuse that's going on, the opioid kind of epidemic that's sweeping our nation. People that get on medications that aren't necessarily educated on how addictive they are, and then find themselves, you know, in like a dark hole and unable to get out themselves. Are you finding that this is happening a lot with your clients?
A lot. And that's been the one of the mantras always. Like, patients come in and they tell you, my goodness, I didn't know I will be in this boat. You know, had I known, I wouldn't have taken this medication. That really is sad to hear that, you know, unknowingly they slip into this addictive lifestyle. Taking the prescription medication and eventually turn to heroin.
Exactly.
More and more and more, that's what you hear.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's they can't sustain collecting these prescriptions that long, or they can't, you know, it starts to become too much energy on their part, and heroin is more readily available. So
it's too expensive to buy these prescription pills from the black market.
Right. Exactly. Do you feel that doctors have, you know, in the last year or 2 years, I mean, has this gotten any better in terms of doctors writing prescriptions and being more mindful that, you know, people doctor shop and have multiple prescriptions?
You would be surprised if I tell you, no, I don't see much improvement at all. I still end up, you know, walking out every day after work wondering, well, which world are these doctors now practicing in? This is the epidemic, and you would expect people to, you know, look at their prescription what I'm prescribing, you know, how much am I giving out, but it's still the same process. And there are patients who we detox would go back right to a doctor who would write them the addictive medication.
Mm-hmm. It's unreal.
It is unreal. And, you know, and the mixing of medications, that's more scarier than writing the opiates itself. You know, there are doctors who would prescribe opiates with benzodiazepines. Mm-hmm. So it'll be Xanax for anxiety while they're taking pain pills for their back pain. Mm-hmm. You know, that's very dangerous. It's going to make them stop breathing. And so it shouldn't be practiced that way. But you always hear that and it continues to be like that.
Mm-hmm. I know. It is really something else. And can we just talk a little bit about how you got into this and your journey into, you know, being such a wonderful expert and pioneer in this field of addiction medicine?
Center for Network Therapy is a substance abuse facility. We have been talking about that. This is based in Middlesex, New Jersey. I founded the program because I was motivated to stop the revolving door of addiction treatment. This center provides both acute and subacute levels of care. So ambulatory detox, the acute level of care is offered for alcohol, benzodiazepines, and opiate use. And additionally, it is the first facility licensed by the state to offer this modality of care. And after completing the ambulatory detox, the center also offers them the full continuum of care, such as partial care, and then they step down to intensive outpatient treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So the motivation was to stop the revolving door, you know. So working in an inpatient in the past made me understand why the traditional model fails for at least 50% of the patients.
Mm-hmm. And I've worked in an inpatient center too for many, many years and have seen the rotating door as well, seeing the same clients come back again. And it's almost like they, from my experience, a lot of them feel safe there. And so, you know, but I do see that this younger generation too, they stay in this recovery, sober living, inpatient center cycle where some people, you know, are 22, but yet they've been in this, you know, they've gone to 10 different rehabs. They've been in, you know, this sober living, you know, bubble for a huge chunk of their lives, you know, the majority of their lives. And why is that?
People who are in these kind of residential programs and, like, you know, halfway housing and stuff like that, it defeats the purpose of the 12-step program. We know AA kind of leans towards people, places, and things. Stay away from people. You know, so early recovery, we are going to bunch all these people in one, you know, residential place and have them go through lifestyle, like, you know. So it defeats the purpose of people, places, and things, you know. Stay away from that. So, you know, we need to be mindful of what we are doing with addicted patients. It's a disease and it's not just a behavior, and we are asking them to, like, really restructure everything. The lifestyle has to change, and we need to give them the environment to be able to start new all over again.
Right. And that's so interesting that you mentioned that, because I agree with you. I think that these sober livings and halfway houses, I know their intention is to keep people safe, to keep people accountable, to give them UA, urine analysis test, you know, those kind of things. But at the same time, like you said, it does keep them in close proximity to other sick people that are struggling and that are trying to overcome, you know, their own addiction. So you're right. I think it's so early on that the brain, you know, their brains haven't created those healthy pathways yet, or those pathways that continue to push them to see themselves in a different light, that, you know, they wind up getting stuck in influencing one another. It sounds like that's what you were discussing.
Exactly. And they just keep seeing the same model, you know, same thing that continues. Everybody around them are using or struggling to stay sober one day at a time. And so that's the model that they keep seeing, you know. Sometimes what you see, what you think is what you practice, and that becomes your destiny. So I think we need to give them a positive outlook about it. And, you know, that's a sad thing. Again, the country definitely is going through this epidemic with addiction. But what do we, communicate with our people in the nation is that, oh, if you use drugs, you're going to die. Everything bad is going to happen to that person who uses. Instead of giving some hope, yes, mm-hmm. there is hope. If you do X, Y, and Z, you can come back to normal lifestyle. You know, mm-hmm. So that's what I would like to promote more, educate people about addiction and give them that, you know, reasonable, you know, realistic hope and mm-hmm. guide them accordingly so that they can come back and have a decent life.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think there's so much hope, and the brain is so soft wired, and we could really rewire and restructure our thoughts, and everything is up in your head. Everything is so mental, you know. It's just a matter of learning how to reframe things and see yourself differently. And like you said, making the lifestyle changes is important too. So having healthy people around you and ending toxic relationships and learning how to communicate. I mean, there's so much to addiction that is not discussed necessarily.
Exactly. They, you know, inpatient teaches them coping skills, but they don't really get to practice them, you know. So that's why since the opening of Center for Network Therapy, this is like 4 years since, you know, I started this program. The big difference that I see in my program is that these patients go home, as crazy as it sounds, you know, they go home and they put to practice the coping skills that they learned. And then they come back. If they were to have a relapse, you know, we work with them immediately. There is a contract. We get the family involved. So it's not like, oh, it's a HIPAA. We can't involve the patient's family. You know, that's not the right model. You have to have family involvement because it's a family disease. It affects the whole family. The dynamic of family goes down, you know, with this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy that you brought that up, because family therapy is something that, you know, is suggested but not really encouraged, and it's definitely not required. So it leaves, like you said, people to be really vulnerable to others that don't know what they're going through. I mean, just educating. I think educating family members, it's so important, and they usually don't get the therapy. They're not the ones that understand all these new coping skills. They don't. So this person comes home and they're like, you know, talking another language.
I know. And then the family also like highlights, every family, doesn't matter, you know, race, ethnicity, nothing matters. Each and every family member would say the same thing, but different face for me. The thing that they say is, I cannot trust you anymore. That's not a positive thing for the patient to hear this. If I'm an addict, I don't want my family to tell me, I can't trust you anymore. You know, so then why do all these things, you know? So I want, you know, right now it's difficult for me to trust you, but I will work with you. Show me that you can, you know, earn the trust back. The positive thing, we have lost the positive, you know, twist to the whole thing. Everybody kind of makes, you are an addict, I had it, and I don't want to deal with you. That's the, you know, sound that I hear every day, you know.
No, well, I'm so happy to hear you say that, because being positive is so much more important. And also, you know, I think with families too, to teach them that you can't keep shaming other, you know, you can't keep shaming and not letting go or forgiving. And yes, like you said, it takes time, but I hear this more often than not, that the families are constantly the guilting, the shaming, the bringing up the past. And I always encourage my clients to say, listen, I'm moving forward. If you want to be sitting in the past, you'll sit there by yourself. You know, I have to keep going.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. You know, so what if this is a chronic illness and we all agree that addiction isn't a brain disease, if that means we are not going to keep doing blame gaming. You know, we are going to understand that they are going to live with this for the rest of their lives, but then we are going to help them the way we help diabetes, the way we help people with hypertension. You know, why not help people with addiction?
Absolutely. And so do you also encourage boundaries and teach the clients and the family members how to have boundaries, what they are, I teach my clients how to verbalize them. Like when you guilt me, I'm going to walk out of the room, or, you know, whatever it is. It's important. I think it's important for people to feel empowered to know what these terms are. Cause sometimes I'll say like, do you know how to set a boundary with your mom? And they'll be like, you know, what's a boundary? And so it's basic education, but do you find this? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and that's what I mean, like relapse prevention skills, you know. So coping mechanism, anger management, understanding their thoughts. So it's a cognitive behavioral therapy, what they are thinking, you know, how distorted are their thought process. Oh, I am 28 years old, I'm an adult, treat me like an adult, you know. Yes, who bought you a pack of cigarettes, you know? Who paid mm-hmm. for your pack of cigarettes? My mom. So are you 28 years old now? You know, so they get to yeah. see that, you know, so they do. And sometimes I would ask my young guys who are addicted and in treatment, and if they are saying, like, oh, I don't have a girlfriend. If I have one, I wouldn't be acting like this. And I laugh and I go, ask them to show what you can bring to the table in order to date a girl. What do you have? Mm-hmm. You don't take shower. You're not, like, you know, brushing mm-hmm. your teeth. And you're mm-hmm. lying. You don't have a penny in your pocket. So mm-hmm. I would like to date a nice girl. You know, beautiful looking. You know, so then they see it.
Yeah.
They bring in humor, and then they go, "You're right. Right. You're right. I need to at least, like, you know." Then, 5 days of being sober, they rewrite the letter saying that now 5 days I've stopped using drugs. I'm thinking right, and I would like to have a nice girl in my life. So this is what I mean: baby steps, looking at the positive thing in the future.
Yeah, and then helping them reality check. It sounds like is important
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
So how when you say so for me, so I now have an outpatient center, and I really see that, you know, it takes months and months and months for people to start rebuilding their lives, and maybe they feel better after 5 days, but do you, since, you know, people are listening out there, do you encourage people to be patient? And, you know, how what timeline do you see people really starting to feel like they're creating a new identity or really putting into place these new behaviors?
The day they come in for detox, we start the therapy along with that. So what it does is like we start teaching them coping skills. So they start looking at themselves that there is hope. And so that is a positive thinking. And then as they move along to the partial care, they start learning relapse prevention skills. Which are much in depth. So as they move along, like in 10 to 15 days, they start having some understanding of where they are at fault and where they can make a difference and mm-hmm. be able to understand the interpersonal relationship skills. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So once they move along in the continuum of care to the intensive outpatient treatment, they do, you know, make a huge difference. So you're talking anywhere between 20 to 25 days, you know, they mm-hmm. really do mm-hmm. come around. And then the magic number, 90 days, makes a huge difference. You know,
it does.
By the time they are 90 days sober, they really start thinking, yeah, I can do this. And I feel good about being sober. And one thing I ask my patients, are you happy being sober? You know, it's very important, because when they become sober, the first time they get to see all the mistakes that they have made so far. And so it's important to find out how they are feeling being sober. It's something mm-hmm. new for them.
Yeah, and, absolutely. Yeah.
And the depression, anxiety, everything needs to be addressed at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I know you mentioned a 12-step program, and I think that works for some people, but as well, you know, you have to also, I think, incorporate meditation and running or exercising and eating right and focusing on your sleep and, you know, your music and other hobbies and other things too, because if, God forbid, you know, meetings don't exist wherever you go one day, you still have to create that safety within yourself and learn how to calm yourself and learn how to, right?
Yeah, Erica, I totally, you know, yes, I agree with you. This is the thing, you know, I talk to them about hobbies. Do you have hobbies? And they go, no. Of course, yes, once they start using drugs, everything about
that's
them
their hobby.
Has changed. So, yeah, right. So I ask them to bring back their hobbies. In fact, patients would, like, start talking about writing songs back and, you know, bring the guitar in and start playing guitar, you know, start applying for jobs, do part-time jobs when they come in for the partial care program. And then the IOP, they go back to work. And, they, you know, again, it's different from the traditional model where they're gone away from the community, being in a structured environment for quite a long time. That's not mm-hmm. a great, you know, structure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because once they come back, you know, you have to find out the means to live in the community. That becomes a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And usually, I mean, I don't know, you know, in New Jersey, I'm sure there's just like California, there's so many different clinicians and people doing amazing things in terms of healing that I just encourage everyone to be open-minded and open-hearted to try everything, because you never know. Like you said, when you come out of an addiction, listen, some people never even had hobbies because they started at 12 or 13 or,
I know.
You know, so they really have to start just trying everything. Like I keep saying, is build the muscle of just trying things. And if you don't like it, you don't have to keep it up and you don't have to continue it to be something in your life, but at least give it a try. Because I know I've stumbled upon things that have really come to help me in my life. Just, you know, that I had no idea. So it's just nice to encourage that as well, I think.
I agree with you 100%. Yoga, meditation, you know, gymnastics, yeah, and going to gym, you know, all those things are important. People don't pay attention to their health.
So. Yeah. Well, it's a mind, body, spirit process. So thank you so much for being here with me today. Can you give everybody who's listening your website, where to find you, and
just your information? The website is recoverycnt.com, and we are located in Middlesex, New Jersey. The name of the center is Center for Network Therapy, and the telephone number to call us is 732-560-1080, and there's no waiting period. You know, they can make a phone call and they will be seen the very same day, and we are open 7 days a week. So even if it is a Christmas or a holiday like Thanksgiving, we are still open, so they don't have to think about it.
That's fantastic. That's so wonderful. So thank you so much for coming on today. And thank you for all the work you're doing to help people, you know, during this time of their lives. It's so important to have places like yours exist. So very happy to have you and spread the word.
I really appreciate that, Erica. And thank you again for giving me an opportunity to be on air and be able to talk to your listeners.
Oh, we'll have you back for sure. Thank you. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thank you all for joining us today, and stay well.